But I'm telling you, La ilaha illallah, wa Muhammad Rasulullah. I mean, it just like I feel great now. I feel like a new person, man. So.
O Theos ine enas.
Yeah, that's, I told you, it's natural. It's human nature.
That's it.
O Theos ine enas.
Yeah.
And Greeks are smart people, man. They're
yeah,
not,
man.
I mean, Aristotle, Socrates, these
man,
guys.
Man, we got that history, man. Yeah.
Right.
I actually became Muslim about 10 years ago, and it really made me feel like I couldn't hang around the Greeks anymore. But I realized
I love Jesus even more now because I have a purified, clarified. Understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of Greeks fall into that, what you're mentioning, Eddie. Allah is the creator. He created you. You know, you have to acknowledge that at some point. And once you take the first step where you feel a little bit unsure about the Trinity, that's actually a good step because now you're thinking, right? And this will lead you to Tawheed or monotheism.
Yeah.
And I felt that. And now I feel twice blessed. I still feel in touch with my Greek heritage, and I feel so much more happy. Even historically, I like to read now about the things that I didn't like to read about before because I love Islam, and I see the positive in things now. And I think that it put love in my heart instead of it replaced that hatred I had for people and put love in it, you know? So for all those, I have so many friends now, Turkish friends, Bosnians, different people, and it's like, wow, Allah replaced the hatred I had in my heart for love, so I feel even better now. And I remember I bought a copy of the Quran in English. I remember reading the Fatiha in English. I said, okay, this is cool. And I look at the back book cover and it said the design was from Istanbul. And I put it down. I said, dude, I can't read this. And I just know, you know, when I read Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, I said, this religion is for me. I mean, even when you just read the Fatiha, I said, this religion is for every human being.
Right?
Who else do you ask for? It's natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who else do you ask for guidance?
Yeah.
God. You don't have to say Allah or anything. Who else do you ask for guidance? The Creator. That's a great point.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host. Subscribe if you haven't already. Now, the question is why? Why would this young man, this Greek, speaking the Greek language, eating the Greek food, why would he accept this way of life, this Dean? He was seeking to know purpose, the purpose of life. And then from there, what happened? He went against all the odds. And we're going to hear this wonderful and amazing story. So if you're out there, the listener, the watcher, and you're searching for purpose because you understand there's a departure day, we're going to leave this life sooner than later. It's coming for all of us. And you have an emptiness in yourself, in your heart, and you have had enough of the distractions. You've been distracted with this and that and everything under the sun, but it still hasn't filled that void. Well, our next guest is going to answer that question. What filled that void, that emptiness, and why he went against all the odds? So pay attention to his answers, and let's go check him out, because right now he's with the Greek entourage, with some of the old timers speaking the Greek. Our next guest, Malik, let's go. We'll be right back here on the Dean Show.
Yeah, so in Greek we can say O Theos in Ennas.
O Theos in Ennas.
O Theos in Ennas. You know, so I don't speak Greek that well.
How do you say it again?
I would say O Theos, God is one.
O Theos in Ennas.
Yeah, O
Theos. Translate very well.
Oh, thank you. So we're all together. We love each other. O Theos in Ennas.
O Theos in Ennas.
Yeah, we want to share.
Yeah. How
do you say it?
O Theos in Ennas.
Yeah, that's, I told you, it's natural. It's human nature.
You know? What are you talking about? Only my God.
Yeah, yeah.
He said nature. No nature. A God. O Theos.
Yes. So we got to practice our Greek. So we're going to learn more.
Yeah,
we are the Dean Show. You guys from the same town?
Sorry. Yeah, so...
the same island. Go to Kefalonia.
So
you're from the Greece?
Yeah, Greece. Kefalonia.
Yeah. How you say it?
So we're from Greece.
Yeah. Tripolis.
Tripoli, Greece.
We are here.
Here, you from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
We
are friends all together.
Coffee is
good.
So we got the Greek crew here.
But
may I say my name so you can copy it? Yannis Proutsos ek Luka Tripoleos. Kolokotronis.
His name, where he's from, and then Liksuri.
Liksuri, yeah.
Liksuri.
My father comes from Kefalonia. Liksuri is the town, but my village is Monopolata.
Monopolata?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know the village.
Okay, what village are you from?
Bifa Batata.
Okay, but it's Liksuri side. Okay.
Yeah, Liksuri side. Yeah.
So you see, very small country, beautiful. Everybody knows each other. Yeah. I'm actually from California. I came to visit Eddie, and I'm so happy to be with you guys.
So how do you feel? I
feel really great, and I'm really happy that you bring me here, Eddie. And I couldn't feel any better. You know what? I'll tell you the truth. I didn't say it to you guys, but I'm a Greek guy. I married a woman from Egypt. I actually became Muslim about 10 years ago. And it really made me feel like I couldn't hang around the Greeks anymore. But I realized it's love. We all love each other. And I'm so happy to be here. And actually, with Tommy and Angelo here knows my father. And I'm really happy to be in Chicago, man. And with these Greek people, it's really wonderful. I feel right at home, man. Where we should be. This is where we should be.
Yeah, but there's only one guy. We should
pick up on some Greeks. Yeah. With the Greek crew. We're about to hear the Greek story here coming to the Dean on the Dean Show. We're right back.
This is the Dean Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. And our next guest, Malik Evangelatos.
Oh man, you got it, man.
Did I say it right?
Oh man, it's close, man. Good job. Walaikum salam.
Teacher, writer, author.
Thank you, brother. It's my honor and pleasure to be with you, man.
How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm excited to be here, man. It's a dream for me.
Staying busy writing all these books?
Hey, man, just trying to give something fun for people to read and actually also, you know, kind of present Islam in a fun way.
Yeah.
So that's what I do.
MashaAllah. Really nice to have you on the program.
Dude, I want to thank you, man. This show meant so much to me when I first became Muslim about 10 years ago. And I still use it to try to keep that fresh kind of enthusiasm I had when I first accepted Islam, because it's so nice to hear, you know, see you interview different guests that talk about their personal experiences. So I think this show has done a lot of great for a lot of Muslims. And I just want to, you know, thank all you guys involved with this. And may Allah bless you guys for this.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you very much for those kind words of support. Really appreciate it, man.
Hey, no problem.
And I'm really honored to have you on the program, especially someone who I just came back from Bosnia.
Wonderful.
Now, there's a tie there because they're neighbors. Greece is right
Absolutely.
There next to Bosnia.
Yep, we're neighbors.
And we want to bridge some of those misunderstandings, break through some of those barriers. And inshallah, you can help us, God willing, do that.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Growing up Greek, look, man, I love the Greek people. I'm Greek. I love Greece all my heart, man. I can't tell you how much I love Greece and Greek people. Now we're in Chicago. We're going to stop by Greek town, hopefully, afterwards. But I will tell you, man, unfortunately, you know, the way that history has set up, the way that history is, unfortunately, many Greeks have a negative perception of Islam. But like you said, once we make personal relationship with people and break down those barriers, it will improve. Yeah. And obviously, this is because of history, the Byzantine Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and all these things, you know. But I definitely think that, like you said, we meet people and we break those barriers down, inshallah.
Tiganis.
I don't speak that Greek that well.
But obviously you can have a nice conversation with someone.
Yeah, definitely. I go back to Greece frequently.
Yeah.
And, you know, my dad was the Greek speaker. My mom grew up here, but my dad was a Greek speaker. We have a lot of Greeks in the Bay Area, too. So
there's some Greeks out there tuning in right now.
Oh, man.
Like, how did this happen? Because they intertwine. They say, okay, no. If you're Greek, you can't be Turk. Are you Turk?
Right.
Change your DNA or something?
Right. So I want to tell my Greek family and friends out there, they already know this, though.
Yeah.
That, hey, man, I am Muslim. I am Greek. And there's no contradiction in that. And I love Greece. And at the same time, man, I love Turkish people. I love Bosnian people. Now, hey, man, I feel like becoming Muslim, I've opened up. I have so many more brothers. I've increased my family, not decreased, you know.
Yeah.
So I now I appreciate and love Bosnian, Turkish, and Arabic cultures and all those great things about Islam, you know, as a Greek. So I feel like I have the best of both worlds. So when I go to, Turkey, I appreciate the ancient Greek history, the Greek history, and the Ottoman Turkish history.
Yeah. Now, you're a brave individual.
Thank you, brother.
I got to say that. Because there is some deep-rooted history there of some kind of resentment. There's actually some kind of hatred.
Yeah.
It's sad to say. But we also see a positive light because the more Greeks actually study real history, not as they say his history,
made-up
history,
they
start to see those who are sincere and looking for the truth, like you were. Actually, if they don't take that even bolder step of accepting submission to the Creator, not the creation of Islam, the same way of Jesus and all the message.
Right.
But they actually start to befriend Muslims, and some of those negative, thoughts they had, you know, of not being able to befriend a Muslim, it actually happens, and stereotypes get washed away. But how did that happen with you? What was the first step?
Well, you know, that's a great question. But I just think, you know, for me, I just believe Islam is something that is inside of us already. You know, it's a natural fitr to believe la ilaha illallah, but we're just looking for that, you know. So growing up, you know, Greek Orthodox, you know, I have so much respect and love for all my Orthodox friends and everything, but I just felt like it wasn't there. Something was missing. There was no connection with my Creator. So eventually I found that with Islam. But it did take time because I felt like I couldn't accept Islam because of my cultural background. And I spent a couple of years in that, you know, more than a couple of years, maybe 4 or 5 years in that state.
Yeah.
And I still remember when I was 19 years old in college, I was reading a copy. I bought a copy of the Quran because I had a world religions course. And I still remember my professor, Shim Hapte. He was from East Africa. He was an Orthodox guy. He's a really great guy. And I remember I bought a copy of the Quran in English. I remember reading the Fatiha in English. I said, okay, this is cool. And I look at the back book cover and it said, the design was from Istanbul. And I put it down. I said, dude, I can't read this. If I was to accept this or embrace this, I would lose everything, you know. But then I realized later on, Eddie, what am I losing? If I lose, I didn't lose everything. I feel like I gained everything with Islam now. And so that's what people should think about. If you're a Greek out there, or if you come from a culture where you think it's not going to be acceptable to become Muslim, you know, that's not the case. You know, times have changed. People are changing.
People are changing. I like that. Inshallah, for the better. That's amazing. So you picked up, for people that know, that this is the first chapter of the verbatim word of God Almighty, Allah. You're reading it. It's saying all praises to God. You alone we worship, Master of the Day of Judgment, the most gracious, the most merciful. Right. It's connecting with what you said is already inside of you, the fitra, the natural way of worshiping only one God. Now you look at
the design of it,
and you're like, I can't. I got to put it down. So the truth is hitting you.
Yeah.
Now you got to make a decision. Am I going to cover up the truth?
Yeah.
Or go more towards it?
It took me like 5 years to make that decision because, you know, we're people.
Five years.
Yeah, man, we're people, man. We're hard. It's hard to make these life changing decisions, but I'm glad I did it. And I just know, you know, when I read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, I said, this religion is for me. I mean, even when you just read the Fatiha, I said, this religion is for every human being.
Yeah.
And I felt that. And now I feel twice blessed. I still feel in touch with my Greek heritage, and I feel so much more happy. Even historically, I like to read now about the things that I didn't like to read about before because I love Islam and I see the positive in things now. And I think that it put love in my heart instead of it replaced that hatred I had for people and put love in it, you know. So for all those, I have so many friends now, Turkish friends, Bosnian, from different people. And it's like, wow, Allah replaced the hatred I had in my heart for love. So I feel even better now.
Why did you have hatred in your heart?
You know, just because growing up, it's like, you know, like, for example, you look at history, like, you know, all those things like in the Greek psyche, like Istanbul should be Constantinople. It should be part of Greece. Cyprus should be part of Greece. The Serbs are supposed to be our brothers. All these things that you just, these stereotypes that are layered on generation after generation, you begin to feel that way. But I was fortunate enough also to have a great father who taught me that as I got a little older that, you know, a lot of that's not true. And so I was able to see through some of that, which kind of helped me along, you know, to be able to accept Islam because I knew that he was loving and accepting and didn't necessarily believe all that was true. So, you know, it worked out for me in that way.
So how old were you in life when you start to ask those crucial questions, purpose of life, you start thinking deeper?
You know, that's good, Eddie. Thank you for asking me. I would say, like, honestly, maybe not until like 18 or 19.
Uh-huh.
But then again, I'm like, in the, you know, I was about to get into, go to UCLA. Man, I thought it was so cool living in Los Angeles. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Lakers were winning. Although I'm a Knicks fan, you know, the Lakers were winning. I was having a great time. UCLA was in the final, you know, March Madness and all these cool things. And kind of, you know, it's hard to, the dunya kind of, you know, takes over. But I started asking 18 or 19. And, you know, I would meet Muslim students from the Muslim Student Association every from time to time, and they would pray. They would invite me to pray. So Islam, I felt like Allah kept it kind of like there for me. And finally, when I felt like I was serious enough and I was able to make the decision and to face the consequences, if there were any for doing so, that I was mature enough and strong enough to do that. But you know what I found? There weren't that many consequences. It wasn't a big deal.
No.
People say, oh, okay, that's your religion. That's your choice. Okay, that's your choice. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a big deal in the end, you know. So alhamdulillah.
But would you say it wasn't more of a big deal because you're living here?
Oh, yeah. Great point. Yes, absolutely, Eddie, because, you know, I'm born and raised here. So for those people overseas in Greece, especially, it would be different. And I always, you know, yes. So for here, we have a different culture here in America. So that's a great point. I did travel to Greece recently, and I talked to some friends there from the Muslim Association of Greece. We're doing great work. And times are changed. It's much more positive. They're about to open up their first masjid in over 100 years in Athens. So times have changed, or more people accepting Islam, but it's still not where we are here in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So what happens now? So, okay. What are you going through? What's your mindset? Okay. Lakers, football, basketball, whatever.
Right,
so you're going through what most young people are going through, you know, partying, all these other things. But now, is there something that happens in life? Is there, what are you feeling? Is there an empty void? What is it that has you? Because most nowadays you can't get young people to even, you know, consider talking about something serious like this.
Hey, thank you for mentioning that, because, you know, some people have like a car accident, or they get, something happens, their father passed away, something happens where it sparks them. For me, I didn't have a moment of truth or epiphany, but I just realized a sense of emptiness. Like you said, you're young, you're having fun, you're doing the things that young people
emptiness.
Are doing, but you're empty inside, aren't you? You're chasing something that's, you know, looking back on it, looking back on how much time and energy and effort you spend pursuing things that weren't even important. But you realize after you become Muslim in Islam, you prioritize Allah has prioritized my life now. So all those things I thought were really important weren't important. So just feeling the sense of emptiness and knowing there's more, there has to be more to life. I want to know who my creator is and what he wants from me. And what am I supposed to do? So I did kind of, going back to the Orthodox Church a little bit, reading about it more, but it wasn't there. So for me, just, Islam was the one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It's so simple. There's a beautiful truth to it, It's like a sense of, it's like a profound, it's simple but profound, And I think a lot of Muslims forget that because they've been Muslim a long time. We kind of forget that. But I'm telling you, La ilaha illallah wa Muhammad Rasulullah. I mean, I feel great now. Mm-hmm. I feel like a new person, man. So I just feeling that emptiness, that void, doing the same thing over and over again, not achieving happiness. So it's like, where am I going,
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happened in my college years.
Yeah, for the Greek tuning in, for the Serbian, for Italian, Polish, and they heard you say la ilaha illallah. How would you translate that?
You know what? It's nothing foreign. You can even say it in your language. So in Greek, it would be something like, O Theos ina enas. God is one, and I want all the Greeks and all the Serbs and everybody to know it's not a foreign thing. We just use the Arabic words because now we've learned Arabic and the Quran is in Arabic, but all this can be said in our languages. It's already said in our language. We already know it, right? O Theos. I don't even say Allah when I speak with the Greeks. I say O Theos because it means God in Greek, and I want them to feel comfortable with me.
O Theos.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you translate this?
Well, they would just say the God.
The God.
It would mean like the God, mean like the only God,
Only God to be worshipped.
Yeah.
Otheos.
Otheos ina ennas.
Otheos ina ennas.
Yeah, he's one, man. That's it.
Otheos ina ennas.
Yeah.
And Greeks are smart people, man.
Man.
I mean, Aristotle, Socrates, these
man,
guys.
Man, we got that history, man. Yeah.
Right?
Right.
I've spoken to some Greeks. They don't believe in a lot of, like when I, the Greeks that I spoke to, they're not down with this Trinity thing.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Yeah, yeah.
They're not. I mean, they thinking people. But what happens then? Is it more like now intertwined with the culture and just like nationalism?
Thank you. That's a great point, because what happens is, hey, you're not in tune with the Trinity. You don't feel it, right? But then where do you go?
Yeah.
Well, you can't do anything. Your mom's Greek. Your dad's Greek. Your cousin's Greek. You own the pizza shop. You own the chicken. I'm serious. It's a community, man. You got the pizza shop. You're working with your dad. Your dad's at the coffee shop. It's like a big community. It's unreal, And that's how it works. So it's like, well, where do I go now? I can't. I'll be ostracized. I'll be blackballed. But it's not like that anymore. Times are changing. And I want to let all the guys out there, Greeks, know there's a lot of Greeks becoming Muslim. Don't be shy. If you're in Greece, contact a Greek in Greece. He'll be able to advise you better than me because I was raised and born here. No, man, times are changing. It's not a big deal. It's, religion is something, it's your personal, it's a choice that you have to make in your life at some point. Allah is the creator. He created you. You have to acknowledge that at some point. And once you take the first step where you feel a little bit unsure about the Trinity, that's actually a good step, because now you're thinking, right? And this will lead you to Tawheed or monotheism.
There's some deep history when I went to the heart of Europe, the Balkans, Bosnia, and I learned how did they accept Islam? Now, this is an important point because it connects with Christians even of today, because they were actually Unitarian Christians. They were Christians who rejected like what we're talking right now about, that most Greeks reject, in their nature, this Trinity. The Bosnians at that time, the Unitarians, they were actually considered heretics by the church because they didn't believe Jesus was literally the Son of God, that Jesus was God, but they believed in Jesus. They loved Jesus.
Right,
so there are many Greeks. There are many people out there. They love Jesus, but they're like, if you ask them, do you believe Jesus is God or he was sent by God? They say, I believe he was sent by. That just flows more naturally.
Yeah.
So the Bosnians of that time, that's what they believed.
Yeah, yeah.
They were disconnected from going to the church. They would go out and make sajda. They would pray outside in nature, not to nature, not Mother Nature, as they say today. They would pray to the one God.
Yeah.
And then when Islam came to them, it fit like a glove.
Dude.
And they're Muslim today, ones who have submitted to the will of God.
Dude, that's beautiful. And that's how I feel. That's how a lot of Greeks feel. And I totally believe that. Greeks love Isa, we call him Jesus, very much. And I tell them when they ask me, I say, you know what? They said, you can't leave our religion because Jesus is the Son of God. I've heard that. And I tell them, I love Jesus even more now because I have a purified, clarified understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of Greeks fall into that, what you're mentioning, Eddie.
That's interesting. You said Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and then you said Isa.
Yeah.
I mean, you point out things like, obviously, in the Semitic languages, there's no J's, right?
Right.
English language didn't exist. And if you take, just do this experiment, you say, how do you spell it? J-E-S-U-S?
Yeah.
Just take the J. How do you pronounce it then?
So it would be
Isus.
Yeah, right?
A little deeper, Isa.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
We got his name there. This is who we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. No, a lot of Greeks would fall into that too.
Yeah. How do they call his name in?
Well, in Greece, there's lots of different ways, but they generally would say O Christos. And I don't know the linguistic background, so they refer to him as the Christ.
Christos. Okay, yeah, Messiah. Yeah. That's all Messiah.
Yeah. So a lot of people name that. My cousin named that. It's a name in Greece also. Yeah. That's how they refer to him. There's a great love for him.
And Christos. So they say Christos.
Yes. And I think that a lot of people that want to make Dabo in Greece, this is a great door for you to open and walk through.
Yeah.
The door of Jesus, of Christos, of Isa. This is the way to approach. I believe Greek people, if you want to talk to them about Islam, uh-huh. let them feel comfortable with you. I love him too. He's a major part of our religion too. That's what I think that, you know, it's a great opportunity of dawah speaking to these people. Yeah.
Yeah. When you break down, because this is when you say, okay, we're followers of Christos. Christos is basically, you know, when you look, it's named after Christ.
Yeah.
And you have Christians cut off the end of it.
Then
you have Christos, and this is actually just Messiah, and we believe he was the Messiah sent by God.
Exactly, and we call him that too.
Yeah.
So there's so much things in common, but it's almost like we're talking past each other when you talk to a Muslim and a Greek person.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, there's so much things in common, but you're talking past each other. If you just clarify the terms a little bit, like Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, all those things that we just said, it helps, definitely. Yeah. And I think there'll be more and more people in Greece accepting Islam.
So what happens? Obviously, this was not an impetuous, rash decision that you made. So you go through the feeling of emptiness, having a void. You pick up, you're reading the opening of the Quran, which we just encourage everyone, just pick it up. It's not like people be like, man, I'm going to get like affected with some kind of disease or something. If I pick up the book, pick up the book, man.
I paid literally less than $5 for it in my life.
Pick up the book and do what you did. But then you put it down because of this, all of the negativity that was associated with it.
Right.
But then, so what happens then? So now, obviously, you spend some time. Nobody wants to go towards something that is not the truth and they accept it, and they're going to get all, imagine you're accepting something false and you get all this pressure from family, friends, culture.
What were
the steps after that? After you had to come back towards picking up the book again, and how much time till you actually took your shahada?
Yeah, good question. You know, I spent 4 or 5 years pondering this, and I wouldn't discourage anybody who wants to become Muslim right away, but for me personally, it was like you said, I didn't want to be rash. I didn't want to move too fast. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm doing something that is correct.
So let me get this timeline. Okay, so you pick it up, you're around 18, then you said you left it for 5 years?
Yeah.
How did you come back?
Oh, like I said, after community college, I went away to UCLA.
Okay.
You know, being an undergrad, having fun.
Gotcha.
And that kind of, after doing that for a while, that kind of emptiness kind of led me back to Islam, because at the same time I did have some like Muslim
you still
friends.
Remember that?
Yeah, because I still had some friends. Yeah,
the friends. Okay,
from the MCA who invite me around. That's why it's so important. If you're Muslim and you have a non-Muslim friend, hey, don't have to like pound it to them all the time, but invite them once in a while. Invite them once in a while.
Now, what finally did it for you? Because this is not a blind acceptance. I mean, this is not blind belief. Islam provides all of the rational, logical evidences that it is indeed. Someone who looks at it, its authenticity, the proof beyond proof, and evidence. Yeah. What were some of the key points that you remember? You know, stood out from.
No, that's a great question. Thank you for asking. I would say, perhaps maybe, you know, to be quite honest, maybe, you know, making some bad decisions in college, and then coming out unscathed from that, and thinking, wow, that could have went the wrong way, you know, stuff like that. You know, like, wow, maybe someone must be looking after me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I must be an important person. Somebody must, God must love me. There must be a creator. If I've, you know, made some bad decisions and things are still going well for me. And like I said, you know, I mean, the general emptiness there. But I couldn't nail it down to like one event. But I could say that making bad decisions and feel like, wow, Allah is still watching me. Someone's protecting me. I still have a connection with my Creator. Allah is forgiving. You know, we make bad decisions in life and we think, oh, we can't go back now. I messed up now.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, Allah is the He is the most merciful, the most forgiving. As we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we have Allah has mercy, forgiveness, and you know, we're humans. We're in need of that.
Yeah.
And so I never despair of the mercy of Allah. And even before I became Muslim, I felt that was one thing also. Never despair that God is there and he's merciful and he loves me. I just have to find, how do I connect with him?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it happened.
What if someone says, look, man, I was an alcoholic, I was a druggie, but Jesus saved me from all that. What's the difference now?
I would tell him, you know what? You should be Muslim for sure now. I guarantee you. Because Jesus is someone that we love. He's part of our religion too. So I would tell him that. I would say, you know what? If you say that, then you're going to make a great Muslim. You should be with us. Come with us. Yeah. We love and honor to have you. Because Islam is also about peace and love and forgiveness and mercy. It has all those things. And, you know, you're in need of that. And Allah bring you through the door of Jesus. Because like we said, Jesus is a great prophet of Islam. A lot of Muslims name Jesus. Has a great verse of the Quran about Jesus. And that's how you, you know, that's what I would say.
what are some of the few points that some Greeks bring up that they stick to but are easily refuted? And then maybe we move those out of the way to have them open their heart more. What are some of the things that you've come across?
Man, you're a really good interviewer, man. That's a great question, man. I like that. I didn't even think about it. That's a great point. I'm going to use this in the future, you know. First of all, I'll say number one, history. Okay. Like any race, ethnic group, did you guys fight some wars? And you won some and you lost some, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't take it so personal and so much hatred. Hey, history has an ebb and a flow. You guys, Greeks, have a great history, a great civilization from ancient classical times. Through the Byzantine period, there was great things. And even during the Ottoman period, and even now, you guys are doing great things. So don't look at it so negative. Don't take it personal. History is history. And just move on from it and build a better future. So I wouldn't say, I would say to Greeks, don't be trapped by history. You have a whole future, inshallah, in front of you. Don't be trapped by history. You have a whole future, inshallah. Build the new Greece, a better Greece. Don't be trapped by what you perceive as negative. Yeah. That'd be number one. Number two, I would say research history yourself and read. That'd be number two. And number three, which maybe should be number one, is meet a Muslim. Meet Muslims. And once you do that, you're going to feel it, you know.
Have you, when you finally made this decision, you said, okay, that's it. This is the truth. It's from the Creator. The Quran is what it claims to be. Divine guidance. You accepted it. What was the any backlash from family? And how did you deal with that?
You know what? At the time, I thought it was serious. Maybe some coworkers say something. You know, lose some friends. But you know what? It's like pouring water through the filter. The friends that I have now.
Beautiful.
The friends I have now, man, those guys are my friends. My American friends, my white Christian friends, man, and they're still friends with me. I got so much love for them.
Filtration system.
Oh, man. Beautiful. I feel great.
Some friends you just don't need. Yeah. Because they're not really your friends, right?
Right. Yeah. And now some of those guys come back and call me up because they're so happy. You know what? I'm living, they see, oh, hey, look at, man, he's living a clean life. He's so much fun to be around. He's a nice guy. And now they want to come back and do what I'm doing, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping some of them accept Islam. As far as family, you know what? A little bit shocking at first, but love conquers all. And family comes first, and it's never a problem with family, you know.
Beautiful thing I was explaining to you, and it's kind of the same thing happened there in Greece, where the Serbians, the Croatians there in Bosnia, when the and obviously human beings make mistakes. We're not here defending a whole, you know, the human beings, but Islam is perfect, right? So when Islam is implemented in its pristine form, how it should be, there's justice for all, there's peace. There's the most beautiful things start to blossom. So now in every part of history, there's dark periods, of course. Yeah. But overall, what I remember one historian saying that, refuting this, and this was particularly to the Serbs, giving an example of when the French went and conquered, you know, different parts of the world, Algeria, for instance.
Yeah.
They and the people from Algeria, now they're speaking French. Mm. Now you still have in Serbia, when the Ottomans came, they ended up preserving their culture. They still speak. They don't speak Turkish.
Yeah.
You can equate the same thing with the Greeks, right?
Oh, dude, this is my one argument. This is one thing that helped me accept Islam, by the way. I said, okay, I've been told, like, growing up, that Greeks weren't allowed to speak Greek and they weren't allowed to go to church. And I believe that growing up. And I don't blame the people who told me that because they're older and that's what they learn, you know? Yeah. Then I start to ask myself, okay, there's 10 million Greeks in Greece and how many in Australia, America, Canada, and everywhere else, right? But they all speak Greek. Right? There's no shortage of Greek Orthodox churches in Chicago and in Greece and around the world, right? So a lot of them are still, most of them, 90% are still Orthodox and 100% all speak Greek. So that goes to show me the Ottoman leniency. Then when I learned that the Ottomans were lenient in with regards to these types of issues, well, it makes sense now, doesn't it? Well, the whole country is still speaking Greek. So that means they let you speak Greek. You guys are all mostly Christian still. So that means they allowed you to go to church. So this is easily refuted. And I think once Greek people hear that, it would be very helpful and beneficial to them, you know. Like, look what happened in Latin America, you know, in California, we have a lot of Spanish speakers. Well, Spanish was a European language that was brought by Europe, right?
Yeah.
And enforced and forced on those people. So the native languages are almost gone. Although, there is a Mayan community there. But I'm saying there's no comparison to what happened in Greece or the Balkans with the Ottoman rule. So that's a great point.
You're just another proof. When I look at, I've interviewed, alhamdulillah, people from all walks of life, and showing that this is indeed a universal way of life, because you have many other religions that are just so divided. And then, you know, Islam brings people from all over, unifying them in the worship of just the one God. In Greek, you said this is
O Theos in Enas.
Simple, yeah. Easy.
Yeah, yeah.
You have another beautiful example, man.
Oh, you know what? I just was shocked when I would go down to before. I used to visit the Santa Rosa Islamic Center, and when I first became Muslim, and just walking in at first, okay, this is really cool. People from the Balkans, Arab countries, subcontinent. This is pretty neat, and we're all different languages, cultures, ages, color of our skin. You know, but when we get together, we pray together. We shake hands, we hug each other, we're brothers. You know, it's good, man. It's a worldwide brotherhood, and that's how life is supposed to be. Islam takes the racism out of us. We all have a little bit of prejudice and racism sometimes, you know. I think it's natural a little bit sometimes, but Islam really takes it out of us and mm-hmm. treats, you know, puts everybody on that equal playing field, which is so beautiful, mm-hmm. you know, so that's important.
You've also been spending some time writing now. So
yeah, thanks, man. I'm not a sheikh. I can't call to Islam in that. You know, when I first became Muslim, I want to talk about, you know, be like, talk about these aqidah and fiqh and all these big topics and be like a sheikh. And you know what? Allah didn't put that in my path. I'm not a qualified scholar. I'm a regular Joe. And I do like to read and write. I was an English major. And so what I do is I like to write, but I like to call people to Islam through my fiction writing. But by doing so, I don't present Islam like directly. I kind of like, you know, put it out there for people to know about. And so that's what I've done with my books here.
This book here, this one, Caffeinated Journey Through the Ottoman Greece.
So I titled this book Ibrik, which is, in Greek, we have a small pot that we make coffee with.
Yeah.
It's also used in the Middle East and Turkey and other places, maybe even Bosnia. I'm so happy. It's only 26 pages, okay? And I just wrote this story about a Greek man who becomes Muslim. And as a result, he becomes energized to learn more about modern Greek history. So he travels through Greece and all the old historical sites, talking with people and drinking coffee. And I just want to show, look, Islam is something that brings people together. It makes people happy and loving. And it makes us embrace, living life in a happy way. It's a positive change. So it's a story about a Greek man who becomes Muslim and travels through Greece with his cousin. And talking about that, and ultimately, leaving a good impression about Islam with other people, and I wanted to share that story with people, so I titled that Ibrik, which is the coffee pot, which is people make coffee with in Greece and Turkey.
this is one of those other things that nowadays a lot of history is hidden.
Definitely,
people don't know the origins of many things.
Yes,
but when you look deep, you see like coffee. It just came to mind.
Yeah, right.
Somewhere in Yemen, right?
This right,
is where
right,
coffee.
Right. Yeah, right.
Muslims were the ones.
Right, and it's introduced. So Greek people, all your Greek viewers should know is: look, coffee and a lot of wonderful foods and cultural practices were introduced to Greece via the Ottoman Empire, whether they were Turkish or not. But so there's so much positive to look at, and that's what Ibrik was about: being positive about being Muslim. You're Greek. You're Muslim. And yes, there's a lot of wonderful, positive things and historical things in Greece. So, for example, I went to the Acropolis a couple months ago in Greece, and I did not know this. I did my whole life. I've been going to the Acropolis. Oh, it's very cool. Well, there's Ottoman history to it. There's Ottoman history.
What's that called?
The Parthenon that sits on top of the city.
Yeah.
There's a masjid down below it that was built.
That's where again?
That's in the area called Plaka.
Plaka. That's in
Greece.
Greece.
And there's a and it's
the city is called
Athens. It's in Athens.
It's Athens.
Yeah.
And the area
little area is called Plaka.
Plaka.
Which was there's two masjids there that are now it's the Greek Museum of Folk Art.
Yeah.
I went inside. It's perfectly preserved. It's so respectful. They didn't even let people take pictures.
Uh-huh.
It says La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So all my Greek viewers, when you go, all the Greek people watching, when you go to the Greek Museum of Folk Art in Athens, that's actually a masjid.
Yeah.
It's right below the Acropolis, the Parthenon. A lot of people think the Turkish people destroyed the Parthenon. That's also not true. It was a Venetian general, I believe, that shot the cannonball that damaged it during some war. But it was not the Ottomans. The Ottomans actually preserved Greek historical sites. So, for example, when Greek people or people would come to take columns and sell them and to take them to museums, the Ottomans did not like that. So the Ottomans actually preserved ancient Greek culture in many ways. And it's important for viewers to know, you know.
Yeah. You met our friend also. He was Steph.
Yes, he's my brother. Yes, yeah.
Our brother, yes.
Yeah, Steph. He's like my big brother. I look up to him actually so much. I had the opportunity, when Allah blessed me with the opportunity to work at the channel in Egypt, I really wanted to do something for Greece, you know. And I found him online doing history. And I like that because, it, like you said, we all have our roles in this ummah. Not everybody can be a sheikh. He's a historian. That has a very valid, important role. And he's so knowledgeable about this stuff. He's written a lot of books about it. He's a wonderful guy. I'm still in touch with him, Dr. Steph Carey. So he's a Greek man who became Muslim and he's written books about this. And I think he's done a lot of good for people.
Yeah, he's another person that he spoke about his interaction with Muslims. And then he was also questioning some of the beliefs that he was brought up in. He was a truth seeker. And then he went up against the odds. He started to dig into many of these things that are brought up through history. He found that they were lies. Yeah, nobody likes being lied to. He went deeper and deeper. He became a historian.
Yeah.
He accepted Islam.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, and to this day now, he's writing more books, educating people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's a great example of somebody who transcended nationalism and...
Yeah, and did something positive with his life. People positive, think, oh, if he becomes Muslim, it's gonna be, there's going to be negative consequences. Well, he went forward, continues education, is doing great things. He goes around speaking and educating you know, everybody, not just Muslims, but everybody about the, Ottoman Greece and Ottoman history and Islamic history, more importantly, more specifically in Europe. No, I was really happy to meet him. I'm glad to be in touch with him.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, love to see people like that doing good for the cause, but in the way that they know how. So he's a historian, so he's serving Islam through that. You know, I like to write a little fiction. I try to serve Islam through that. You're doing the show. It's a great service to Islam. We all are contributing what we have for the greater cause. So
at the end of the day, it's like, who do you love the most?
Yeah.
That nationalism, man. These material things, that's not going to save you when you pass and you hit that departure date when we leave this world. He loved God Almighty, the Creator, the most. The one, say it again in Greece.
Yeah,
Otheosianas. He loved his Creator the most.
Yeah, man.
And how can you find blame in someone who wants to do what God wants him to do or her to do, just like you?
Yeah, man, that's a great point. Because look, nationalism, this is something separate. What do you love the most? All this stuff's going to come and go. These flags and these, what are we fighting for? You know, these national, these identity things that we have kind of created on ourselves, you know, these divisions. Who do you love? That's a great way to put it. Who do you love the most, and who's going to be with you after you pass away? You know,
and you still love Greece. I mean, you're Greek.
Oh, I love it even more now. You know what's funny?
As a Muslim, you love
even more
Greece more,
and I even know more about it. And the funny thing is, Greek Americans, all these guys are going to know this. When we go back to Greece, we kind of just go back just for fun, like in the summer. Mm-hmm. Hey, let's go to the beach and have fun and do that kind of thing. Now I go back, I have a genuine appreciation for the history and the people more than I did before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, absolutely, no, there's no way around that,
because it goes back to being people of Iqra, being people of knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, Islam, obviously, you didn't make this decision impetuously, rashly. You went and you looked into it using your mind, the faculties that the Creator Allah gave you, because you got a lot to put on the line.
Right.
You put a lot on the line, right?
Yeah.
So now, obviously, being this is one of the things that Islam motivates us, me, you, everybody, is to be people of knowledge, right?
That's a great point. And, you know, Iqra, you know, that's a great point to say, you know, because I know a lot of Greeks were very proud of our past, Aristotle and all these great philosophers and this great classical civilization. That's a great opening too. Hey, see, what the first word revealed in the Quran is Iqra, read. That's really good.
So you made some other good points that now you go back, you're studying the history even more, you're more into the culture.
Oh, definitely.
And this is as a Muslim.
Oh, definitely. Even with my kids now, I feel like, you know, before, like, you go to the beach, you go to drink coffee, you go to have fun, you go to eat gyros and souvlaki, and that's all good. And to, you know, have fun, it's like a summer vacation. But now I go back as a Greek person who loves Greece, you know. Like when I took my kids to the Parthenon and to Plaka, all those areas, I tell them the history about it, the ancient history, the Byzantine history, the Ottoman history. And, oh, I love Greece more. Now, definitely. It's become richer now.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. But,
what have you – so now if you say – because a lot of times amongst the Greeks, Serbians, and other people in the Balkans, hopefully we can by them watching programs like this, they can transcend, again, that nationalism, some of that hate – when they label Muslims as Turks. I'm not a Turk. You're not a Turk.
Yeah, definitely.
Right? You've heard this also. You become a Turk.
Absolutely. Yeah, Eddie, absolutely. So I'm praying for this moment because I love the Balkans like you so much. Albania, Greece, Bulgaria, Turkey, Bosnia, Serbia. We should all be brothers. Our cultures are so similar and so close. There's no reason to let these things divide us and hurt each other. Hey, man, Islam is bigger than anything. No offense to our Turkish viewers. Islam is bigger than Turkey. It's bigger than Greece, man. It's bigger than Bosnia. This is nothing to Allah. Allah created all these things. We are the ones who divided each other amongst these. So when we're talking about, you know, the country that you come from, that's cool. But we're talking about Islam. We're talking about the salvation of your soul and your afterlife. I mean, it's like two different things. I mean, one is so important and one is kind of like, I don't want to say petty, but it's less significant by far. It's almost insignificant in front of, you know, your religious choice, you know.
At the end of the day, we mentioned a few of the things that are brought up and the counters to that. But let's say, for argument's sake, let's say that the rule there that they were under, it was the worst, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say, for argument's sake, right?
Yeah.
We know it wasn't. And just like yourself, when you studied the history, when our Dr. Steph, who is Greek, he studied the history. People can watch that program I did with HIF. But from argument's sake, is that an excuse to not go further to look for the truth? And now, do you reject God and Islam because of that? Because human deficiencies? Because let's say humans didn't rule or implement Islam the right way, but what's stopping you now from going above and beyond that to see, like, really, if the Quran is claiming it's the only book out there in the world, look, that's making a claim directly that it is from the Creator and that it lists everything that we need to be successful in this life, the consequences of rejecting it. There's nothing like it.
Dude, this is a great point. This is a wonderful point. I'm glad that you mentioned this. I mean, I couldn't even say it better than you. So I would say specifically to my Greek family and friends, okay, let's say that the Ottoman rule was bad. Did the Turkish people create Islam?
No.
Of course not.
Did
the Arab people create Islam? I had the opportunity, mashallah, to travel to Lithuania, Jordan, UAE, Saudi Arabia. I've traveled, alhamdulillah, a lot throughout the Muslim world. Nobody created Islam, you know. Allah revealed this religion. These are just people. So I just feel like it would be incredibly unfair to yourself to judge somebody, a religion, by a person or a collective group of people's behavior. It doesn't make sense. So, okay, let's say this group of people, they were misbehaving and they were not good. What does it matter? We don't judge people. I would never judge like the Christian beliefs or Christian church according to the behavior. Some of people that I know, for me, it's totally separated. I would never do that. I have too much respect for them. People are human. They make mistakes, man. I would never judge Islam because I know one guy who was not a good person or something. Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Or the Ottoman rule was no good for Greece. Well, this is history, it's politics. And this has nothing to do with Islam anyways.
Yeah, if there's mail, I mean, just a simple example, the mail is being delivered to you. It's for you. It has your name written on it.
Right.
And now the mailman, he's not supposed to be drinking, not supposed to be, you know, doing drugs and alcohol, but that letter's for you.
Right.
You're going to neglect all that. You want to see what that message is about. Even though we have the best of examples with the last and final messenger, who is the best, the most pristine character, Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him.
That's right.
So why are you going to reject
the
message? That's for you.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, don't reject the package because you don't like the delivery man.
Yeah,
I mean, who would do that? Would you not send back the Amazon package because you didn't like the guy delivering it? No, that's a great point. And I think oftentimes a lot of us do that. It's really unfortunate. Actually, I've seen a lot of older people in our community, in the Greek community, they fall into this, and young people, I should say. You don't like the person giving you the message, or you have a certain stereotype about a certain group of people. So, for example, in this case, Islam, it's an Arabic religion, and I'm not an Arab.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hate to say it like that. I don't want to disrespect the Arab viewers, you know, but I would say, hey, look, Islam is bigger than any one group of people.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And, you know, we just have to let people know that.
Yeah. And obviously, at the end of the day, we're not the judges. God is the judge. But it's just delivering this because the deen of Islam, it makes it clear that the way of life that is acceptable to the Creator is submission to His will, not submission to the will of Muhammad or submission to the will of Jesus. You're following Jesus. Jesus would lead you to Muhammad. He's the example that we take as the last and final messenger. But if you're looking for all these different isms and ways, you have it laid out. And in it, it has clear outline explaining that there's nothing else that God will accept except that you obey Him, submit to Him on His terms, not your own, making up things as you go along.
Dude, this is a great point, and it makes me think, listen, you know, we're just human beings trying to follow these great examples of the great prophets, and like you said, our greatest example, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, we're trying to please our Creator, and this actually has nothing to do with what country or what color our skin is or what country we come from, because Allah is not going to ask you, are you from Greece?
No.
Are you from Bosnia? Are you from Cyprus? Or it doesn't even matter in the end in this regard. This is a great point. You know, when we want to serve our Lord, and it doesn't matter, you know, what country you come from or what color your skin is. Just it's irrelevant, really. It's insignificant.
Yes, it's beautiful because in this day and age, you see a lot of this white nationalism. You see a lot of this racism coming out. Islam crushes all that, man.
And that's why I believe it would be great for Greece, because unfortunately there's a little bit of a far-right movement here and in the United States and there. But Islam crushes that because, like you said, hey, man, now a black man or a Turkish man or wherever you're from, you're like my brother now. I see you as a human being now and not as somebody I'm supposed to hate. Yeah. So Islam really took that takes that out of you and it puts it replaces. I really hope people really learn, understand this. It's time for me to put love in my heart for people and forgiveness and mercy for people and understanding and empathy, not hatred.
Actually, the Ottoman, just this is another thing that came to mind. The Ottoman Empire, most of the leaders, they were part Greek, isn't
it? Dr. Steph told me this, and I didn't know, and I read about this. I love this part. A lot of them spoke Greek. They married Greek women. So a lot of the sultans were half Greek. They respected Greek culture. I mean, what else can we ask for, right?
Some of them were Serbian also. They had the mixed blood.
Yeah, definitely. So that means they respected your culture, your language. Their children were half Greek. They lived. I mean, what else do you want? I mean, it's an expression of appreciation.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's wonderful.
And people I know in many Bosnians, even Serbians, they actually rose up to the rank in that government system, and they became great leaders.
Yeah, and a lot of those
they weren't like illegal aliens.
Yeah, right. They were like a lot of the ministers and the they call it the. I'm not sure what the term
ministers,
is.
Voyeurs, they were there. Yeah, like they rose up, governors. They became
like the grand visors. These guys, all these guys are Greek, man.
Yeah,
or Bosnian or Serbian or whatever. And it's great. And I like them. I love Ottoman history now because of that mix, the variety. It's beautiful. Yeah. As a Muslim, I can tell you, I embrace diversity. Yeah. I like it and I thrive and I like it. I'm not saying that I didn't before, but let's say before I had certain stereotypes around some things. So before I meet somebody or when you meet somebody, you have a negative kind of feeling about them perhaps beforehand. As a Muslim, I embrace diversity. I love it. I know so many people from so many different places, and I think it's beautiful. It's meant. And that's why I know this is the religion of Allah, of God, or Theos, because he's bringing us together. He's not dividing us. So that's how I feel.
You actually spent some time also, you were an interviewer.
Yeah, yeah.
Working and interviewing many scholars and people of knowledge. And one thing I made an example, because I've interviewed people who are, let's say, sheikhs of different religions.
Yeah.
And what really fascinated me was, I remember key points that they told me that the more they would look into their religion that they were upon, it would drive them away. But the more they started to investigate Islam, the more it convinced them that it was the truth.
Wonderful point. And I want to thank you for sharing that. And because working as an interviewer, it was a great experience in my life. I know how stressful and hard it can be, when you have to ask questions, you're in front of the lights and all that. But the result was great because I just felt like a fly on the wall. I'm not a person of knowledge. I'm not a sheikh. People ask me questions all the time. So, I have very little information. You should talk to your imam or whoever you respect and trust. But what I mean, I just got to benefit so much. It was really a blessing from Allah to be around these great people and just to listen to them. Like you said, your iman goes up, not down. So it's increasing. And it was a blessing from Allah just to be around them, and it was a great experience.
So, how do you see now when you speak to some of the Muslims now who are questioning their deen?
Yeah, right.
Beginning to wane, and now you, as someone who's coming from this background that resents Islam, you came to Islam, and now when you see them and you see their level of knowledge, you're like, what are you doing, man? How are you spending your time?
Right. Well, that's a great point. I want to tell you this. You know what? A lot of guys, alhamdulillah, young guys, youth, they come to me because they think I'm someone that they can talk to or relate to because, like you said, I'm coming in to this religion. I chose to come in.
Yeah.
And I don't care, what trouble you've gotten into, what you've been doing. You're in high school and college, and, your iman is so low, and you're into some things that, we shouldn't be doing. I'm telling you, man, just take a moment, ask Allah for forgiveness. Allah forgives, is the most merciful, the most forgiving. There's never a time that you've gone too far away from the deen or I'm questioning thing. There's an answer for everything. But before you, there's an answer for everything. There's nothing there's no reason to feel that way. And there's no reason to feel like, don't despair of the mercy of Allah. There's always a way back in. And, I chose to come in. So I feel sad when I see people kind of confused or youth kind of like, in the dunya here in America, I try my best to try to give them a positive message to bring them back in.
Yeah. So you were working with Huda TV, right?
Yeah. And I want to thank them. That was a wonderful opportunity. They're great brothers. Sometimes in the media, you probably receive a lot of criticism sometimes, but the positive feedback was more overwhelming. They gave me an opportunity to work with them and to, like I said, to meet those great people. And it's a lot of great memories, man, with them, with the scholars there. And
did you have a lot? Do you remember key points where, like, you would be excited, you're about to interview someone, and now you can ask any question, something maybe that came up, maybe a doubt, something came up, and now you can actually ask someone right in front of you of knowledge? And
yes. And you know what? That's a great point, and that's why it was a great blessing. I wish everybody had that. There was a lot of great people there. For example, I had the opportunity to interview, you know, Sheikh Ibrahim Zidane, Imam Karim Abu Zaid, you know, Dr. Salah, of course, and all these people. And there's nothing that you can't ask, mm-hmm. and you'll find your answer. And sometimes, honestly, the answer isn't in words or dalil and proofs. It's in their behavior and mannerisms. And when you see like a living example, then you have something to model. Because if you're just, you know, asking these kind of like theological questions and you're looking for a certain answer that you're already kind of looking for, I don't know, it's not going to work. But when you see a great example of what it means to be a Muslim, someone who's trying to embody the spirit of Islam and they're knowledgeable, it's really a blessing to be around them. And I wish we had more here in America and I, you know, for the youth to be able to contact and be in touch with. You know. So that I considered my time there among the greatest blessings Allah has given me.
Yeah. You know, yeah. How was your, from when you accepted it to now, how has your family come around? Have they got to see now Islam in action and now things have changed quite a bit?
Well, you know what? I hope so. I think so. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes as a human, you know. But I think they know, and I know, I still love them. They still love me. We're stronger than ever. I think I feel like I've become a better son, a better husband, better father, better sibling because of Islam. Because I feel like, I think, I hope I'm more considered, I'm mm-hmm. more aware. I hope so. I think I'm a much better son than I was before. I love and respect I have for my parents was there before. But what I mean is Islam amplifies it, and I understand how much they've done for me and how much I love them, how important our parents are to us and how valuable that relationship was. Before I was like, this mom, dad, whatever, you know, it's taking things for granted. But I think Islam prioritizes things. I hope I become a better friend and family member, yeah.
What advice would you have? I had not too long ago a former alumni from the Bears, Tim. His name is Tim. He's also from the Greek background.
Oh, nice, nice.
And he got hit by a drunk driver. Ended his career.
Oh, wow.
And then he got some news. He had some kind of disease that they diagnosed him with that gave him only 6 plus months, if I'm correct, to live. So he's staring death in the face.
Right, right.
It's not a coincidence that towards the end of his days now, yeah. Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, put him around some Muslims. And he likes what he's reading, but now he's torn between what are they going to say still, right?
Yeah.
Family, friends, culture, and then the truth.
Yeah.
If he gets to tune in, what would you tell him?
What
advice would you give him?
Yeah, you know what? I just think that whether, you know, even if Allah give you 6 months or 6 years, 60 years, don't worry about what people are going to say, what people are going to think. Your parents, the people that are important in your life, are still going to love you.
Mm-hmm.
My mother still loves me. My father still loves me. My siblings still love me. The people that still love you now, they're going to love you, whether you're Muslim or not. Whether you accept Islam, they're going to love you. So don't worry about it. That should be the last thing on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this seems like a great brother. MashaAllah, I wish him all the best. I'm making dua for him. It'd be my honor and pleasure to meet with him one day. And I would just tell him, brother, don't think about, follow your heart, you know. Allah is leading you to him. There's no mm-hmm. coincidence at this point in your life, at this critical juncture, that Allah is calling on you. Your mom and dad are going to love you. Your siblings are going to love you. Love conquers all. Family conquers all. Don't worry about anything. Don't worry about, you know, sometimes we think about myself. I think, what are my friends going to say? What are the guys at the coffee shop going to say? What's my second cousin going to say? All those people, I love them. I love my cousins, my second cousins. I love those guys. I love everybody, but it's more important what I feel is right with regards to my spiritual health and where my afterlife is going to be. You know, so that's what I would say to
afterlife.
The afterlife is the more important. You know, all this is going to go for all of us at some point.
People don't take that serious.
Yeah, I mean, the things that we do for fun, this is all going anyways at some point. I just lost my father. Everything's going. May Allah have mercy on him. Everything's going. But what I'm saying is going to go anyways. But don't worry about that. Think about your parents. Think about your spiritual health and your afterlife. And your parents and your family are going to love you because you know, it's family. Family conquers all. Love conquers all.
Yeah, that's deep. I had a guest and he went from being a fashion model to being a former fashion model to actually accepting Islam and then becoming an imam.
Oh, cool, man.
And he said that one of his friends just gave him the kalima to say on his lips. And he found himself, it was so easy to recite, La ilaha illallah, pretty much saying that I love you, the creator, the most. There's nothing that I love more than you. There's nothing worthy of worship except you, the one God, like you said there. And he found himself in Manhattan, and he was just saying this, La ilaha illallah,
cool,
La ilaha illallah. You can start saying it, La ilaha illallah. Start with that.
Yeah.
And then God Almighty, and then start being sincere. I usually give people homework. Do the homework. Ask the creator alone for guidance. I mean, it's so simple, man.
That's what That's it. That's a great point. That's what we did. That's what I did. That's what everybody does.
So you did.
Yeah.
Right?
Who else do you ask for? It's natural, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who else do you ask for guidance?
Yeah.
God. That's you don't have to say Allah or anything. Who else do you ask for guidance? The Creator. That's a great point.
If you can't do that, come on, man. What's wrong, man? If you can't do that symbol, say the one who created me, guide me. If this Greek and this Bosnian, these Americans here, if they're on the truth, guide me to the way of life that you want me to be upon.
And the beauty of saying there is no God, the God is one, or La ilaha illallah, or God is one, it doesn't contradict anything. You don't say it, you don't feel weird about saying it. It doesn't contradict my feeling in my heart and soul. God is one. You already know that as a person. So it's perfect. There's no contradiction. It comes easy, like you said. So that's a great point. Just start by saying that and ask the Creator for guidance, no matter what your background is. Don't worry about any of that. All that's not related to our background, our ethnic backgrounds. That's a great point.
La ilaha illallah. Where can people get these books if they
definitely, man. I just would like people to read it. You can actually contact me. I'll send you a free copy. You know, I'm not here trying to make money off you guys. I just want to share my story.
Check out the books.
Ibrik, Sultan's Secret. It's on Amazon. Just Google my name. Yeah, thank you guys so much. Thank you, Eddie, for sharing those. That gift is for you.
Thank you very much.
I just want to share my story and share a little bit about my background with everybody.
We're very happy, elated to have you on the program.
Hey, man, it's my honor to be with you, man.
May Allah bless you.
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much.
And thank you guys for tuning in. Continue to tune in. Hopefully, God willing, this can be some benefit for you. Leave us your takeaways in the comments below, and we'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Until then, don't forget, La ilaha illallah. There's nothing that you love more than the one who created you, and you're not going to worship anything other than him, not the money, not the fame, not the stick, not the stone, not a man, not a woman, no one except the one who created you. That's what it means. La ilaha illallah. Start with that. Simple homework. Ask the Creator who created you. Guide me. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.